back with Vershawn Jackson, powered by Bauer, on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're back. 93.7 The Ticket. I'm Terrell Farley, the black shirt. I'm with Bach. But Byron, here's my thing, Byron. Here's the thing what you're saying. Now, Byron says Thomas and Sims won't run all the same plays. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about that. Casey is going to want to be the starter. I don't think there's no way Casey's going to share his time like that. Now, you say Jeff Sims. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing what I'm saying about if Jeff Sims wins this battle, Casey transfers out. Now, you're recruiting a guy like Dylan Riola. Does this hurt or help Dylan Riola when he sees the RPO offense? Let's say Dylan Riola says, okay, after the first five games, I'm going to make a commitment. Now, the first five games, if you don't show him the offense you like, there's a chance he goes somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect, even if Jeff Sims does start, I don't want to get the vision that you all of a sudden have Vince Young back there. I don't know if it's going to necessarily be him, because if you look at Matt Rule's history, he's never had a 1,000-yard, running quarterback, which you rarely see these days. But I mean, I think combined the most they've had, and they had a couple quarterbacks at Baylor flip starts, and they had like 600 yards total. But I mean, there's years his starting quarterback doesn't have positive yards rushing at Temple. So it can kind of range. And I don't think that, it's going to be an entirely run-based set, but it might change it. They might change their idea with how they play, who they have, and in what conference they play in. So, I mean, that might change too. But I think that's the best part of coaching is adjusting to the quarterbacks you have or the players that you have, I should say. And in particular, we're talking about quarterbacks here. And that's what Ohio State's done so well. As you mentioned, C.J. Stroud, not necessarily known for his running ability, but Justin Fields sure was. JT Barrett sure was. I mean, so they've done it with Cardale Jones wasn't. They've done it with guys, and they've kind of modified their offense based on who the best quarterback was. It wasn't who fits perfectly into our system. And so I think you're going to look at the same thing for Matt Rule, but the offense is certainly going to be different based on who starts, if it's Casey Thompson or Jeff Sims. But I still don't think you're going to be expecting, if Jeff Sims starts, I don't think you're going, well, you need 80 yards rushing from Jeff Sims today. Well, I don't think it's the Adrian Martinez type reliancy on the ground that they've had in the past.
Yeah, have you checked out Jeff Sims on tape?
Yeah.
Yeah? What is it, 50-50 or what, 75-30?
Well, the reason why
– 75-25?
I mean, I could look up exactly what his rushing stats were, because he played enough.
And here's Breezy. He said, but does Casey stay for NIL money? Casey just got his master's degree. So I really don't think money is all that for him. You know, I think it's more about him trying to get a look at the NFL if there's a possible chance of it. Now, Casey's a smart guy. I don't know if he stay for the NIL money.
I don't think he necessarily would, and he would have the chance to, we know that he's already transferred, and you think about the one-time transfer rule, but he would be, like you said, he's working on some higher
well,
degrees.
The so coach
he's already
got fired, though, so he can leave, can't he?
Well, not only that, and maybe you can get a waiver for that, but more importantly, he's a graduate, so you can grad transfer.
Yeah.
So he will have that opportunity if he wants to. If he doesn't feel like he's got an opportunity after the spring, you just wonder, like, what would have changed pre-spring to post-spring that all of a sudden they would tell him, at this point, we just loved Jeff Sims, and now you just don't have a chance when you get in the summer. I don't think that's going to be the case. At the same time, you want to provide him the best feedback for him. And hopefully that's – because he's here now, I don't expect him to transfer post-spring. He might. There might be some – he might get some different information. Not going to be able to – if he wants to start for sure – somewhere he could have already transferred somewhere.
Well, you got to tell the Heisman people who say that when Jeff Sims has a percentage before Casey does, in the Heisman race for next year. So they already given him the starting job.
Well, basically. Because from the outside, it looks like you went and found a starter in the portal. You know, new coach, that's probably.
I don't think anything was wrong with Casey. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think he's I think he's a top five quarterback in the Big Ten. You just got to keep him healthy.
Well, and if they're able to keep Casey around and Jeff Sims, regardless of who wins the starting job, that's obviously the best case scenario, and that would be a huge, and it already is. I already loved the move that bringing in Jeff Sims, because they clearly had a problem. That you watched Nebraska last year. We all sat through it. We know it. But if you're a new coaching staff and you go back and you look at the tape, Nebraska the offense severely was hurt with Casey Thompson out of the game. Therefore, you need two quarterbacks. We've seen that at many different schools, obviously, over the years. Better opportunities. You look at Kansas State. We talk about Adrian Martinez and the ending of that story and how he won the Big 12 championship, but he didn't even play in that game because the backup quarterback was able and pushed Martinez to start with. But even when Martinez went out, was able to help Kansas State along and win some big games, including Oklahoma State. Like I said, the Big 12 championship game against TCU. Nebraska needs to be in that category, and that's tough to do in college football these days.
Yeah.
Credit Kansas State and Chris Klieman for having two quarterbacks ready. Nebraska's struggled with that for years, but Nebraska's not alone. It's tough to have two guys that are ready to play, at that level, in the Big Ten.
Well. It's great for them to have two quarterbacks, but I think we're good enough to have two quarterbacks, and we're good enough to have four running backs. It's just you got to just think about college football these days, how these kids are not really, really committed to things like that, because you know it's like these freshmen coming in, if they don't feel comfortable, if they don't. You probably got some that say, hey, I'm going to go in and play for Nebraska. I'm going to go play. And they get redshirted. Then what happens? Oh, portal time, always. And I expect us to go in the portal. Let's talk about this about the portal now one time. He said he's going to look in the portal now. Which one position you think, if we had to make a move in the portal, what position do you think it would be?
Still to add?
Yeah.
I thought they did a pretty good job of adding some guys. I think the fact that they had Walter Rouse, that guy was you were putting him in at starter. If you get another guy like that to add to the offensive line, because as somebody even texted in, we could talk about
your kids could get free or low cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP, even if you've applied before. They may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit insurekidsnow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Quarterback all we want. If these guys are getting shellacked similar to what they have been the last couple of years.
Yeah, Vincent Watson.
Yeah. One thing is you're going to need both quarterbacks. The other thing is the offense just isn't going to be, going at full toe. And you're not going to get the running game going as well as you'd want to. So, I still kind of think that shoring up the offensive line would be somewhere to go and look. I think you feel pretty good about the secondary. You've mentioned all offseason linebackers.
Yeah, I'll go get a linebacker.
Yeah, it might be another spot.
I'll get two. I just feel like that's one position. Like, we was known as like linebacker university. We always had good All-American linebackers, and now I'm not saying that the linebackers we got are great, but we got to get speed on the field. We got to get speed on the field. Speed kills out there. And if you could teach a person with speed to know how to get off blocks, use his hands, and still be able to run and hawk down tacklers, ball carriers and things like that. Like we need a Levant David type of middle linebacker. You know, he played outside, but that middle he plays in like the NFL right now, we need a real runner in the middle that can really just blow it up.
Yeah, and along with that too is that with this 3-3-5, you still have that kind of that position that's just kind of flex defensive line when you need to be linebacker. So those bodies, those kind of in between guys, That maybe get lost in traditional defenses. I think Nebraska could take advantage of. So, you know, maybe add a few more of those guys, because you can never have enough depth at the defensive line. And as we're talking about linebacker, you know, that's a spot where you don't have a whole lot of proven guys.
Probably seven.
I mean, I could look it up where how many they've have on the scholarship chart. But as far as guys you feel great about, it's Luke Reimer and Nick Henrich coming off of injury, as far as guys that you've seen, you know, play. Chief Borders, is he, you know, there's a couple guys that you're bringing in, but they don't have a whole lot of these special teams experience, basically.
We don't have a significant transfer that coming in with ample playing time.
Yeah,
not on defense.
No.
Now Billy Kemp is another question, because he's on the offensive side,
right?
But at linebacker, we don't have a 2-year starter transferring in. No. We only have guys that probably played in cleanup time, or who probably played mostly special teams. So these guys are rusty too. I mean, I know it's a new chance for them, but you got to understand, we need guys like when I watched TCU defense, I was impressed about how big they were and how fast they were. Now, if Chief Porters can run like that number 17 for TCU, or that big other big guy, then I'd be happy. Now, I heard MJ Sherman, he's doing good. He's a Georgia boy.
Yeah.
I know. I expect that from him. He's a big guy. Eric Gilbert, he's good.
Yeah.
You know, we got to get him a waiver, though. So, that's the thing. We need to bring in more big guys that can run.
Yeah. I still go back. I think adding three guys off the national championship team is still – that's a big get for the offseason. By the way, just to pay off what
we
were talking
about. We
got
three of them?
Yeah, three Georgia.
Oh, the corn offensive linemen.
Corn dogs, yeah. Jacob Hood.
How's he doing?
At least Nick was said the other day, and I think this is still kind of the idea with him, is
he's still in his early stages.
Right. He's kind of like Kane Williams, the safety from Alabama. Like, it's a great big get and a big time recruit. I don't know if you expect him to hit the field right away. And
Mickey Joseph's cousin. That's Kane.
Kane is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
Yeah, that's interesting. Just to pay off something we were talking about earlier with Jeff Sims, I can give you his numbers as far as like passing compared to run threat. And in 2020, he ran for 492 yards, 120 carries, and he passed the ball 257 times. So obviously that's pretty heavy.
What's the stats? Give me the stats. I want to hit touchdowns, interceptions.
13 touchdowns, 13 picks as a freshman, 6 touchdowns on the ground as well. His sophomore year, he threw the ball 188 times, 60% completion, 1,468 yards, 12 touchdowns, 7 picks, and obviously didn't play the whole year there, but ran the ball 70 times for 372 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then this past season, again, didn't play the complete year, 188 attempts, 110 completions. That's good for 59%, 1,115 yards, 5 touchdowns, 3 picks, and a running touchdown on 302 yards with 87 carries. So if you're kind of thinking based on what he did at Georgia Tech, I think he could expect anywhere between 300 to 600 yards rushing at Nebraska. He never hit 600. Again, 492 was his high. I'm just thinking if he stays healthy and it's a productive offense. So maybe, you know, realistically, maybe more between 300, 550, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Brett says, is Casey's job to lose? O-line would be better this year. Well, I hope so, you know, because Casey took a beating last year. And I just want Casey to get a fair opportunity. I know we don't have the guys he had last year to throw to, so he got to figure out how to, you know, who his main guy is going to be. Who is the go-to guy we look for this year? That is my question.
Yeah.
You know, like, we have no Trey Palmer speed out there. You know,
no.
I mean, you can say Malachi Coleman. We don't know how ready he is.
It's just not fair to expect Malachi Coleman, if he's got the speed, maybe for a nine route.
He got to gain some weight first, you know, I think, because if you think he's going to come in from high school and I'll be in the upperclassmen, you know, they wait till they go one-on-ones and the upperclassmen put them hands on him and he can't get off the line. See, you think you got problems in high school, wait till you get here and see how it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not – I mean, I know they recruited speed, so I know you could argue they've got some guys. And here and there – on big plays, if they go to a deep ball, they can replicate that speed. But the point is, you don't have a 1,000-yard type receiver in Trey Palmer. And so I think it's kind of replacement by committee. Like you said, Billy Kemp, very proven. Maybe he's that guy. I feel like they've got – they don't have a guy, but they've got a lot of pretty good guys that could step in that role. Again, not necessarily expect to replace the production of Trey Palmer, because there's only, you know, the second 1,000-yard receiver in Nebraska history. And I don't think they're necessarily going to an offense that's going to be flinging the ball around to get to 1,000 yards. But, you know, between him, Billy Kemp, Marcus Washington, who was obviously one of Nebraska's leading receivers last year. The guys coming back, Isaiah Garcia, Castaneda, and Xavier Betts obviously have flashed. So you've got guys that enough guys that have potential to be a number one that I think that I'm not too worried about the wide receiver room with the expectation and knowledge that you don't have Trey Palmer out there.
Yeah, or the knowledge that the coaches have, huh?
Well, I don't have that either.
All right. You ready to go to break?
Yeah, we better go to break.
We're going to go to break, and when we come back, put your running shoes on, because we're going to do the workout song.
That's
when
right.
We get back. This is The Ticket, 93.7. I'm Terrell Farley. I'm with
Buck.
And we'll be back.